you can trace a decade of disaster on the Gulf Coast by visiting one small town in Alabama. The town is called Bayou La Batre.
And about 10 years ago, Hurricane Katrina sank it under almost 14 feet of water. People slowly came back after the water went down.
And then came the BP oil spill, which struck at the livelihood of this fishing village. NPR's Debbie Elliott revisits the town now.
They say you know Bayou La Batre by the four seasons.
Shrimp, fish, crab, and oyster. That's your four seasons.
Stephanie Nelson Bosarge grew up here in a house less than 1,000 feet from the water. One of nine kids, the fourth generation to work in the seafood industry. Today, all that's left is a concrete slab.
This was part of the house here. This was back porch here. That was all shop over there. And you walked out one door into the other.
Grass and weeds are creeping up over what's left of the oyster run, where a conveyor belt once carried shells between the shuckers. Bosarge's brother, Paul Nelson, says those days are over.
This is one of living proof right here that the grass grows over and people forget about what was here, what was raised here, what was done here.
Peak season, Nelson says, the family had 24 chuckers and 60 oystermen working for them. But building back was out of reach. Insurance paid off debt, but there wasn't enough left to start again. Bosarge says that's been a bitter pill for the fiercely independent family used to getting by with hard work and a day's catch.
Before Katrina, everything was a struggle. After Katrina, everything was impossible. And it's still impossible today.
About 2,600 people live in Bayou La Batre, originally the site of a 1700s French gun battery that soon became known for its abundance of seafood. More recently, it was made famous in the movie Forrest Gump. The town is built around the bayou, a narrow waterway that leads into the Gulf of Mexico. Local author Fry Gilliard sits on a dock looking out over the shrimp boats, shipyards, and seafood processors clustered here.
Their sort of ancient bargain has been that if you work hard, the water's out there, the fish are out there, the shrimp are out there, the oysters, and so you can make a living.
In the neighborhoods, it's not unusual to see a fish net hanging from tree limbs or rubber waders left out to dry on the front porch. Gilliard's book, In the Path of the Storms, looks at how that way of life has slowly been chipped away by both economic forces and natural disasters like Katrina.
And it was a terrible blow. The storm surge essentially covered where we're sitting right now and just wiped out most of the central part of this town.
Boats, homes, and businesses were swamped. Massive cargo ships and shrimp vessels were stranded in the marsh. But people tried to start over, as they had been dating to 1906, when another hurricane of the century wiped the town off the map. Houses were cleaned out, fixed up, and elevated. But restarting commerce stalled 5 years after Katrina, when the BP oil spill shut down Alabama's Gulf seafood harvesting for months.
Hurricanes, you know, have always battered this place. You know, I think the other shadow over this area is the oil spill. And nobody is totally sure what the long-term effect of that's going to be.
City officials estimate seafood processing here is about a third of what it was. That's displaced the workers who used to shuck oysters, pick crabs, and pull the heads off shrimp. Many from Bayou La Batre's sizable Asian population.
Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Go.
At the local Boat People SOS office, volunteer Hugh Tran turns a bingo spin basket to call out numbers during a monthly fundraiser. Community members pay a dollar a page to get in on the action. 20% of Bayou La Batre's residents are Asian, mainly families that settled here after the Vietnam War. Maria Spencer, originally from Vietnam, is an oyster shucker.
Before Katrina, we worked a lot. Now, after Katrina, and a little bit.
Before Katrina, she says, there was plenty of work, but now only a little bit. Antoine Dave Doe is a program coordinator with Boat People SOS. He says this tiny community in Alabama sometimes gets forgotten in the broader story of Katrina's devastation, often focused on New Orleans, two states away. No matter how hard they try to rebound, Doe says, the double blow of the storm and then the BP oil disaster has kept them back.
The spill, it damaged, you know, straight the heart of the seafood resources. So, like, you know, they don't have any job, you know, available like they used to.
The city has also struggled politically after its mayor was convicted on federal corruption charges. He was caught in a scheme to profit from a housing development intended for Katrina victims. Now, residents in that development, called Safe Harbor, are frustrated by what they perceive as broken promises to help get them back on their feet.
My name is Stephanie Baker. I live down in the bayou when Katrina first hit.
Catching a breeze on the front porch of her manufactured three-bedroom home, Baker just got off work. She prepares stuffed crab and crab cakes at a local food distributor and is still wearing a blue hairnet from the job. She moved to this subdivision just outside of town on high ground to escape the cramped FEMA trailer she was in after her home flooded in Katrina.
It was a whole lot better. Everybody was happy.
Baker says at first rent was based on your income and held promise.
If I paid my rent on time for the first year, that money that I put in paying my rent was going to go toward my down payment of rent to own the house. And kind of found out it wasn't like that at all.
Her rent has more than tripled, Baker says, and she's taken a second job on weekends at the Dollar General store to keep up. That's the way it is on the bayou, says Stephanie Bosarge. You find a way to survive because there's always the hope of a better catch.
You starve to death today and you live good tomorrow.
The question is whether the good living will come again. Debbie Elliott, NPR News, Bayou LaBattery, Alabama.